radio show where country music gets up close and personal.
Spend some time in the country and get to know our guests. Spend some time in the country where the music's the best. The latest news and memories, two great stories that get told.
Fergus, Ontario country artist Ryan Lair recently scored a top 10 solo and CMT video with his song I'm Your Man, which we just heard a bit of. He headed to Nashville at age 18 in his 95 Civic to write songs and make connections. He even put up a billboard to get Taylor Swift's attention, and he did. He just wrapped up a tour with George Canyon, and soon he'll be opening up shows in Ontario for Alan Jackson. He's also got a brand new album that we'll get to hear in the next little while, a couple of songs from it on the show. My pleasure to welcome Ryan Laird. Hey, Ryan.
How you doing, Dave? Great to be here with you.
Hey, it's great to have you join me on the show.
Yeah, thanks for the invite. I've been looking forward to chatting with you.
Appreciate that, and a big thank you to Linda Ewing for setting this up. And we should also add, we've got an autographed CD from you that we'll be giving away during the show. Our listeners who are listening live will just need to email inthecountry@mail.com and send me any song title of Ryan's we play on the show, including the one we played off the top. We got two other songs, and we'll do a draw, and someone's going to get that autographed CD.
Yeah. I've been selling those at the shows lately. It's got 13 new tracks on it, and I'm real excited about getting some of the new songs out there.
Now, we know, of course, I'm Your Man, which was a big hit for you. Can you tell us about some of the other songs on it or the style? Are there some good heartbreaking ballads on it, for example?
Yeah, there are actually a couple ballads on there. I've got one called The Best I Never Had, which is a song about, you were with someone, and I was in the past, and you're not with them later in your life, and that was after I'd written the song after the relationship had ended. But kind of looking back on it, I sort of realized that, you never really did have the person. It was kind of in my own mind. So,
right.
But there's a whole variety of songs on there, and from upbeat tempo songs to ballads and mid tempos and everything. So it's a good little variety.
Now, have you got a title set for the album yet?
No, not yet. And what I'm talking about with you is the disc that I've been selling at the live shows, and it's a pre-release limited edition album. So there's only 1,000 copies of them made, and they're individually numbered. So
that's terrific.
You get one or two or 500 and whatever of 1,000, basically, and then after 1,000 are gone, then that's it. And the point of it was kind of to have something to give to the fans at the live shows and whatnot while I'm working on the full-length album. But it turned out that we ended up putting 13 songs on this pre-release album anyway, because I had so many songs that I wanted to share that, and some of them weren't going to see the light of day, so it's definitely got some exclusive tracks on there. There's a few acoustic bonus tracks on there as well that you won't be able to hear anywhere else. So.
Oh, great, great. We'll look forward to that, and those 1,000 lucky people will have that to hold on to and to enjoy. Now, you just wrapped up a tour with George Canyon. Can you tell us a bit about it, and including the prank that I've seen online that was videotaped, you pulling a prank on George during his song A Good Day to Ride?
Yeah, well, I was playing with George this last week across Southern Ontario, opening up his tour for him, and some of the listeners might remember I played in October out through BC and Alberta with George doing a soft seat theater tour, and it went really well, so we decided to do it again this last week through Ontario this time, and on the Saturday night we played in Brantford, Ontario at a beautiful venue called the Sanderson Center, and so I played my opening set, of course, and I should let the listeners know before I tell them about the prank I pulled on George that
right.
he's been known to prank me quite a bit in the past. And one of the things he did was when we played in BC and Alberta in October, the final show of that tour, I was playing my show, and I play these shows acoustically, just me and my guitar, and
right.
I'm into my last song of the show, and I start hearing these animal noises coming through my my monitors while I'm trying to perform. So I'm hearing chickens and goats and stuff like that coming in. And so they were, you know, of course, they were pulling a prank on me. And so, you know, that was the last show of the tour, so I didn't really have a chance to get them back. So the last show of this Ontario mini tour here this last week, I went out dressed as the character Woody from the Toy Story movie. And I had an envelope in my pocket, in my vest of the shirt, and so I went out riding one of those horses on a broomstick kind of things.
Yep.
And in the middle of George's song, right out on stage, and I rode out to George, and of course he stopped the song and whatnot, and was kind of looking at me. And I gave him this envelope, and I asked him, you know, to the whole crowd through the microphone, if he'd please read the note. And just as he read the note, which said "to infinity and beyond," I took a sticker out of my pocket and said, "Hello, my name is Buzz," and it's meaning Buzz Lightyear. And I put the Buzz Lightyear sticker on him. So it was all good fun, but I'm sure he'll be getting me back for it next time.
That is great. It's great to have that much fun. And I also saw on YouTube fun you were having doing some cover songs. You're doing Hank Williams, "Your Cheatin' Heart." I've seen you do that a couple of times online in the videos. And then George did Folsom Prison Blues. What's it like doing those classics and singing those with George?
Oh, it's great. And yeah, getting to go up and do the duets with George Cannon every night after his shows have been awesome. It's so nice of him as a headlining act to invite me as the opening act up on stage with him every night. But it just shows what a great guy he is. And, you know, like he told me before, he's like, I was an opening act at one point in my career as well, so I know what it's like. And I always wish that, you know, this is what he said to me, that he always wished that, you know, he could get the chance to go up and do a song during the encore at the end of the night. And he did. He never got that chance. But I'm real blessed that he's been giving me that opportunity each night to go out and sing with him. And so we've been doing, we've done "Your Cheatin' Heart," and we've done Folsom Prison Blues. And I've actually been doing the Tennessee Waltz, which is a great classic in my show as well. That was one of the first songs I ever learned. My grandfather used to take me to these old-time jamborees when I was just a little kid, probably 8 or 9 years old, and I'd get up and jam with the band, and it was a band of older folks, you know.
Yep.
And I'd get up and jam with these guys as a little kid, and one of the first songs I learned at these jamborees was the Tennessee Waltz. So I'm still playing it today, and it's a lot of fun.
That's great that you can take those classics and put them in your show, because I'm sure there's a lot of younger people in the audience who may not have been exposed to that. They might know a lot of current country, but that's not one they'd know, so you're kind of reintroducing it.
Yeah, it's nice to mix it up. I think, you know, I've got musical influences all over the map, and traditional country is certainly one of them, and along with some of the newer kind of pop-based country music as well, but I try to mix it up and keep my shows with a variety of my influences that way.
Now, at 18 years old, Ryan, you headed to Nashville in your 95 Civic, a guitar, and some clothes, and so not too much, but you made the big trip. How did that feel at the time, and what was your motivation to go at that age?
Well, I was in I grew up, for I guess the backstory a bit, I grew up on a 100-acre beef farm in Fergus, Ontario, and I went down to Toronto at I guess it was about 18 when I got out of high school to do the music program in Toronto there at Humber, and I did that for a few semesters, and it was good training and everything, but I kind of just didn't feel like I was getting what I really wanted out of it as an aspiring singer-songwriter, and I really wanted to get into the country music scene as well, and I'd been hearing about Nashville from some other Canadians and whatnot, and so I decided to make that first trip, and I went down for a week and just fell in love with the town. So I ended up coming back home to Ontario, packing up my bags, threw the guitar in the back of the 95 Civic, as you mentioned, and headed south, and never really, you know, I mean, of course I came home from time to time on trips, so all my family's up in Ontario and whatnot, but, you know, I never really turned back since. It was 7 years later, still based out of Nashville, and you know, I spent a lot of time writing a lot of songs down there and meeting other you know, professional songwriters down there and really trying to learn from them, and just by getting the chance over several years to get to eventually write songs with a bunch of them was kind of like going to school for me, so, you know, I wrote probably over 300 songs, and after that point had come, I felt like I found my sound and had an identity as an artist.
Right.
And at that point, I, you know, the kind of the task of, well, how can I get my music out there to the public and get noticed by some of the record labels and stuff in the music industry. So that was a whole nother task. But I ended up, as you know, I guess I ended up putting up a big billboard in Nashville to Taylor Swift, asking her to produce my album. And it was really a way for me to try and just get noticed and get on the map. And I knew it was a bit of a risk at the time when I did it, but I figured, you know what, I'm going all in on this thing. Why not just give it a shot and see if it works, you know? So I ended up doing that, and some time passed by, and I guess Taylor ended up seeing it and checking out my music because of it. And she'd gone on some of the entertainment, like E! News and stuff, giving me a little sort of endorsement, I guess, kind of message. And from then on, it sort of helped me. I ended up getting a lot of media coverage and stuff from that point on, and interview requests on that. And none of this happens overnight, none of this stuff. It all took a while, but eventually I did get my deal, my record deal and whatnot, and got my singles out to radio. And that's the goal, ultimately, was for me to get an opportunity to share my own music with everyone. So
it goes to show with the billboard, you know, a lot of creativity and a lot of courage combined, because, you know, that was kind of a gutsy move. But it did get your attention. I remember reading about it in Country Weekly. Entertainment Tonight Canada covered it. So it got a lot of exposure, and Taylor Swift actually ended up making contact with you, right?
Yeah, we got she'd reached out, like, it was more through the media, I guess, that she, you know, she'd reached out saying, you know, it might be cool to work together sometime and that kind of thing. And we never did. I mean, she never did produce my record, but, I mean, again, I mean, that maybe that would have been cool, or maybe it will be cool someday. Who knows? I don't know. But I've moved on and continue to write new songs and work, and I'm working on my album, as I was mentioned to you earlier, and whatnot, and you know, maybe our paths will cross at some point. But, you know, I'm my own artist too, and you know, I think that she's probably very busy being her own artist as well, which is completely understandable. So
no doubt. Now, when you get down to Nashville and you want to write, of course you're going to write some songs on your own, but you want to start to network and write with some of the bigger songwriters down there. There's a ton of them. How do you begin that? Like, how do you make that connection, and how do you feel confident enough that you can start to write with some of the bigger names down there?
Yeah, well, it really just happens over time. That's the way I found. You know, I started going to Nashville, like I said, 7 years ago, and I didn't know anybody in the beginning. So I was going out to songwriter nights, like in the round where there'd be different songwriters going out, and then you go to different kind of music industry based parties that you hear about maybe on Music Row down there, which is the big area where most of the music companies are situated in Nashville. And you know, just by going to all these events over time, you gradually meet more and more people, and then sometimes one of those people knows someone else and they connect you with, and you know, sometimes you just ask people, you know, hey, would you like to write a tune sometime? And sometimes it's a yes, or sometimes it's a no, and a lot of that kind of stuff goes on, and it just, for me, it just has been a slow kind of gradual process where you just keep building, and every year I look back, I had growth, and so it's really a long-term investment that way. But you know, I think it's all worth it if you really enjoy what you're doing, and I'm really passionate about music and songwriting, and it's what I do, so I don't mind it taking a while, because it's really fun to watch myself grow and live it.
And as a teenager, I was seeing a bit of a bio online and watching it, and you and your siblings would perform as teams at different shows, so you've been doing this quite a while. Can you talk about performing with them, Ryan?
Yeah, for sure. I have been doing it a long time, it seems like, but again, I love what I do, and I guess you could call it a curse or a blessing, but I always knew what I wanted to do when I was, geez, from as long as I can remember, from when I was a little kid, I was playing music, and my parents put me in classical piano lessons at age 5, and then a couple of years after that, I got my first guitar under the Christmas tree, and kind of never put it down since, I guess, but I started writing songs, I guess I was about 12 or 13 years old when I wrote my first batch of songs, and there was a local studio near my hometown of Fergus, Ontario, and I ended up connecting just with the producer that was running that local studio, and I remember I was 13 years old, and I'd written my first 9 songs ever, and those were the 9 songs I recorded. And that's not how I do it now, because usually you write a whole bunch of songs, and then you kind of pick your favorite ones out of there and record those ones.
Sure.
But but I didn't really, I was learning along the way, and I didn't really know a whole lot about the music business at that point, but I knew that I wanted to be in it, and I knew that I loved writing songs.
Yeah, sorry to jump in there, Ryan, but I'm really curious, this was 9 years old, that you did those songs?
No, I was about 12 years old when I wrote them.
Okay.
And so I've been playing guitar since I was about 7, though. So I'd already been playing guitar for a while and performing locally. And I guess to get to your question about the sibling band, I've got a younger brother and a younger sister, and he was the drummer and she was the keyboard player. And we would travel around all around Southern Ontario through our teens, playing, fall fairs, beef barbecues, and those similar kind of events, even some of the folk festivals around Southern Ontario. We'd go around performing every weekend, and I couldn't drive at that point or anything because we were just kids, so my parents would drive us around every weekend in the old beat-up 75 family motorhome that we got off my grandparents. And it'd kind of become a family trip every weekend, and we'd go and play music. And, we did that all through our teens, and eventually, of course, I continued it, and my siblings got into other things in their life. But, it was always my number one passion. So
Ryan, to write songs at age 12, can you tell us what some of the songs would have been about? Had you experienced a broken heart? Were these about partying? what was the subject matter of about your life experience at that age?
I mean, I think they were, there was some love type songs and maybe crushes.
Sure.
I had at that point and stuff. But no, I probably hadn't, I definitely hadn't lived a lot of life at that point, at least in comparison to now. So it was, they were pretty young, immature type of songs, I think. And, I can laugh at them now because, it is what it is, but I
sure.
think it was still a good thing that I did that, because you can't buy that kind of experience just starting young and getting to be in the studios and seeing how it all works at a young age definitely has helped me with what I'm able to do now at this point in my life. And I think everything I do right now, I try to always learn from it every day and get better for the future too. So
definitely. Now, the song I'm Your Man, we heard a bit of it off the top. Top 10 hit for you and did the same on CMT. It gave you a lot of exposure. You co-wrote this one with Jason McCoy and Eric Silver. Tell us about the song and the great story behind it.
Yeah, thanks. Well, my brother had been dating a girl named Shannon, and they dated all through high school and knew each other right from the time they were kids and from the same hometown. And when he went off to college, I'd been going down to Nashville at that point to do my songwriting, and he went off to college and he broke up with Shannon. And a couple of years went by, and I don't think they saw each other much or anything. And then I came home from Nashville back to my hometown of Fergus and saw my brother back at the family home, and Shannon was there hanging out with him again, and he kind of took me aside and said, Ryan, I realize now I made a mistake and I never should have broken up with Shannon. I'd really like to, win her heart back. What can I do? Give me some advice here. And I wasn't sure what to tell him, but I said, well, how about I write you a song for her? That's what I do.
Right.
So I, on my next songwriting trip down to Nashville, I told Jason McCoy that same story. And I have the title I'm Your Man, and we all ended up getting together and came up with that song, and sure enough, it ended up becoming my first single out to radio last year, and did quite well for me, and it's been a great start, and I hope to keep that train a rolling in 2012 here.
Yeah, definitely, and it sounds like you're going to do that with this next song, which, am I correct here, is She Was the One going to be a new single?
Yeah, She Was the One. I've got people could see a music video for it up on YouTube that we shot, and I've got a few other new songs as well we're in the studio working on right now. She Was the One was written with Monty Powell, who's done a lot of he's become quite well known in the Nashville songwriting community for his songwriting he's done with Keith Urban, and they've had many hits together, and so I was really honored to get to work with Monty, and that was one of the songs that we wrote together, and I'd had a relationship that it didn't work out, and I looking back, I took it for granted and whatnot, and realized looking back that it was a great thing and that she was the one. But and that's where the inspiration came for that song. But and I've got a few other new ones that I'm in the studio working on right now as well that we're considering for future singles too, that I'm going to be excited to share with everyone soon.
Sounds great, Ryan. We'll share the song now that you just talked about, called She Was the One. We can give our listeners a chance to hear it. They can call up their local country station to request it so we can get this one on the charts as well for you. Let's share it now. How does that sound, Ryan?
That'd be great. Thank you.
Awesome. This is Ryan Laird, and She Was the One here on In the Country. From Ryan Laird, She Was the One here on In the Country, and Ryan is my guest. We've got another song of his coming up, and we have an autographed CD of his that you will get if you email me at inthecountry@mail.com, and what you need to do is let me know one of the songs we're playing during the show today, and then we'll do a draw of those names, and one of you will be a lucky winner of that autographed CD. Now, Ryan, that's a great song there, and I think, as with all great songs, it's something that listeners can relate to. She Was the One, you know, everybody has a person in their past that, you know, they think maybe that was the one.
Yeah, definitely. Well, it's she was for me. And, you know, whenever I go through things like that in my life, of course, my outlet to share my story and my feelings and everything is through songwriting and whatnot. So, you know, as I mentioned earlier, I went through something just like that and got the chance to get together with a great songwriter, Monty Powell in Nashville. And, you know, I had that title again, She Was the One, and we ended up getting together one day, and
I guess the inspiration was working for us that day, and we came out with that song. So,
does it make it harder to share a song with someone else, to an audience, when it's a personal song, something you've gone through, and so it means that much more to you? Is that harder to do?
Well, it's different. Every instance is different for me. I don't mind sharing my personal stories, you know, with people, and especially doing it through songs, because I think that it can make the songs better, and it lets the listeners, if it's real to me and I'm singing it and it feels real, then, you know, I think that the listeners often will feel that through the artist and through the singer as well, and it'll make them, you know, get so much more out of the song as well. For themselves, if it makes them feel something, or if they can relate to it and they feel like the singer is also relating to it. So, you know, but it is different every song, and I found, and, you know, some songs are personal and some songs are just, you know, there might be some party songs out there that or something like that that you write to, and they're just about having fun and having a good time and more general and that kind of thing. But so it's really a song-to-song thing for me.
And I've talked with so many artists, and I know our listeners agree that music is so healing. Certain songs can comfort somebody through a tough time, inspire them to go to the next level in their life, to pursue something. It just inspires us or comforts us. Can you talk about sort of your feelings on music as a healing part of our lives?
Yeah, well, I mean, I know my my last relationship, you know, when I got out of it, one of the main things that kept me going was being able to listen to songs that were, you know, I could relate to at the time and were able to kind of uplift me and keep me motivated and stuff. And for me, it's always been about the music that way. Whether I'm feeling up or feeling down on any given day, I always know I can go and I can either pick up my guitar or go to the piano and write or play a song and really get some kind of feeling out of it, whether it's a happy or sad kind of emotion, or you know, you can just go put on your favorite CD or your favorite artist and go listen to them.
Right.
And I do that actually a lot of nights when I go to bed. I'll go on YouTube actually and listen to some of my favorite artists on there and watch the videos and watch them perform the songs. And Bryan Adams is one of those artists. I love to go watch him, and he's got so many great songs that really come from the heart, I think, and he's a great singer as well, and you know, I'm sure that we all have our favorite artists and songs that we'd like to go and do that same kind of thing with.
And I saw on Bravo recently, Bryan Adams has been on a couple of times doing an unplugged show of all his greatest hits, and that's where you really, as you know, because you present your songs in this way a lot of the time, he stripped down the songs like Heaven and even some of the faster stuff, and it really brings new depth to the songs. When you see someone up there just with the guitar and singing the song, it just brings new life.
Definitely, yeah. It's for me, it's, you know, I think in Brian's case too, but especially I know in my case, a lot of the songs, you know, the majority of the songs are written just with, you know, an acoustic guitar and, you know, a paper and a pen or a laptop or whatever. And,
and
that, so it's just, you know, chords and melody and lyrics. And that's kind of the way that they're stripped down. And so when I do these soft seat theater shows like I just did with George Canyon, it's a lot of fun for me because you're in an environment where I get to really share the stories of the songs and the listeners can really listen to the lyrics and really hear the song stripped down in the way that they originally written, as opposed to, you know, the full productions that we go through when we get in, you know, the full band shows and whatnot. But you know, every scenario is different, and there's certainly a time and place for both, I think. But some of my favorite moments are definitely when I get to do those kind of shows and really strip the songs back to the way they were just written.
Nice. Now, as far as duet partners go, have you given any thought to Ryan to either at a show you might be doing or for a CD of yours, somebody you would like to sing a duet with?
Wow. Well, that's a good question. I haven't had that one much. There's actually a new young artist that I don't think a lot of listeners will have heard of yet, but hopefully they will eventually. Her name's Leah Daniels, and I just sang a duet on her album with her. It's a great song called Where Do I Go, and she's going to be putting it out as a single on herself soon, and she's a brand new artist, so I don't think a lot of folks will know her yet, but hopefully they'll come to know the song, and we did do a duet on it, and yeah, so that was my first duet, actually, but I'd love to do some more in the future. And I don't know. That's a tough question to know who. I mean, we were just talking about Bryan Adams. How fun would that be?
That would be
to,
cool.
To get to do do a song with someone like that. It would be an honor, actually.
Yeah. Do you have a favorite Bryan Adams song out of all his great hits? Any that maybe you ever include in your shows? Or just
yeah, I like to cover his song Straight from the Heart in my in a lot of my shows. There's actually more than that. I do cover a few of his tunes, but that's probably one of my favorites. And there's a great version of it on YouTube that he does where it's just him and an acoustic guitar like we were talking about earlier, and he's playing to a whole stadium of people. And it's quite phenomenal, and I really enjoy watching that.
That's great. Yeah, that's the one thing about YouTube I love, too. You can just see so many performances, whether it's live or they're rare. And you can, you know, punch in Bryan Adams or Merle Haggard or Hank Williams and just, you know, just go crazy and watch a bunch of great performances.
Yeah, it's amazing with technology now. You know, you're thinking years ago that they didn't have that option when people wanted to go discover new music and whatnot. Sure. But nowadays we can just go on the internet and go onto YouTube and even for myself as a you know a relatively new artist in the eyes of many people, if they want to come hear my music, they can just type my name on the internet, or they can. You know, if they want to chat with me, you can often just find me on Facebook or Twitter, and we can chat together. And you kind of get you build a relationship almost with, you know, with the fans, so almost to the point where you become friends with people, as opposed to just a fan artist relationship. And it's really neat that way.
Yeah, and the fans end up promoting you. They retweet things, they tweet things, post on Facebook, and they help to spread word, whether it's posting a video of yours or a song, and you know they become part of your team.
Definitely, and as an artist, I mean that means the world to me. I really appreciate that when the fans do that, and the friends and friends online, as I should say as well, and it's yeah. It's a great thing, and it's a click of a button almost many times, and we can and a great way to help share. Spread the word about really about anything, whether it's talking about a new music artist that you're a fan of, or anything, you know, about your neighbor's dog.
That's right. It can just run the gamut, can't it? Just from the serious to the silly.
Yeah, that's right. That's right.
Let's turn to another song of yours, Ryan. This one is called "If There Ever Was." This is a great ballad, and can you tell us a bit about the writing on it, and then we'll share it with the listeners.
Sure. Well, this is another song that I had the honor to work with Monty Powell on in Nashville, and yeah, I had this title, you know, "If There Ever Was," and we got together, and it's sort of. You know, it's a little bit different than a lot of the other tracks that are going to be on the eventual record, and this one's actually on that exclusive pre-release CD that we're giving away a copy of here tonight on the show. And yeah, it's kind of stripped down. When we recorded it, I wanted it to kind of almost seem like it was just a guy, you know, I'm a couple guys almost on stools on stage, and you know, I'm playing the acoustic guitar and singing the song, and then there's kind of a Rhodes little piano organ in there as well, and just wanted to keep it really stripped down. And the song itself is kind of in three sections. It's got, you know, there's a verse about love, and there's a verse about just the world in general, and kind of trying to kind of change the world and take the reins and everything. And there's another verse just about music as well, and I've kind of written it a little bit vaguely as well, so that you know people can sort of make it what they want it to be. But
yeah,
it's a neat song, and I'm really happy with it.
Let's share it now with all the listeners here on In the Country. This is Ryan Laird, and "If There Ever Was."
Could heal or break my heart. It's the midnight strum of a lonesome song on my guitar. The music, the feelings that stir in my soul, the places I let myself go just because. If there ever was a touch that could free the love locked up inside of me, it's your your hands and how they understand everything I need. Your strength and your tenderness help me believe in the man that I know that you see through all my flaws. If there ever was a time, ever was a place, it's this life, it's now, it's today. Tomorrow will come when yesterday's gone, and here in this moment there's no right or wrong, and there never was. If there ever was a thought, a perfect way to say what I'm feeling now, it was always right here in front of my face, and I just didn't know how to hold it, to own it, to make it come true. But now I think maybe I do. If there ever was a time, ever was a place, it's this life, it's now, it's today. Tomorrow will come when yesterday's gone, and here in this moment there's no right or wrong, and there never was. Yesterday's gone, and here in this moment there's no right or wrong, and there never was. Oh, there never was. Oh, there never was.
Ontario country artist Ryan Laird and some new music from him, If There Ever Was, which is found on a CD that's a pre-release to his full-length album, although it has 13 songs on it. We're giving away an autographed copy of it. You just need to send an email to inthecountry@mail.com. You can put in the subject line Ryan Laird CD contest, but mainly just include one of the song titles of Ryan's that we've played during the show. Great ballad there, Ryan. That must go over well when you perform that one live.
Thanks a lot. Yeah, I'm glad you enjoyed it. It's a real emotional song for me to sing and perform, and it's got to be in the right setting when I play that song too. I think when I do the intimate kind of theater type shows like I've been doing with George Cannon, a song like that, you know, works really well in that kind of atmosphere. Always a pleasure to play.
Do you get a pretty high when you are performing, whether it's the energy of a fast song or even a ballad, just being up there and getting that connection with the audience?
Oh, definitely, yeah. One of my favorite places to be in the world that I've found is up on stage, with my guitar or behind the piano or whatever, and getting to share my songs, which are really pieces of me, and I like to call them my babies. After I've put sweat and tears and depending on the song, whatever, just a lot of time and effort into it, and then getting to share them with the world, means the world to me. Like I was saying earlier, when I do these soft seat theater acoustic gigs, they're really especially fun for me because I really do enjoy telling the stories and behind the songs and where some of the inspiration came from, and then going on to share the songs. And when I get to do them kind of in a bare form that way, where it's just guitar and voice or piano and voice or whatever, then, you really hear the core of the song, and it doesn't have all the bells and whistles around it and whatnot.
Yeah.
And that's always a lot of fun for me.
Yeah, it must be a real thrill sharing a song for the first time, one that you've written and you love and your co-writer does, but you haven't shared it with a wide audience yet, and now you are, and you get that instant feedback during and after the song.
Oh, yeah, definitely. And, speaking of songs, not one that I wrote, but we were talking about the Tennessee Waltz earlier, and, I've been doing that song as the last song in my set, actually, lately, on this Soft Seat Theater tour that I did with George Cannon, and you know, I started out a cappella where I just go to the microphone and it's just usually a spotlight on me and I just I just sing it a cappella and I don't normally do that, but you know, in those soft seat theater type venues, it's quite an experience for me, at least being up there. I can hear the echo and reverberation of my voice through the room, and sometimes you don't hear a pin drop, and it's just really neat. And then I bring the guitar in on the second half and finish off the tune. And it's amazing the amount of sound you can fill if you use dynamics and louds and softs and stuffs in the music.
And cool.
I just really have a lot of fun in those environments, getting to the opportunity to perform that way.
That sounds like a cool way to present that song, and it would get people really listening, just hearing your voice and the melody of the song. Sounds great.
Yeah, thanks. Surprisingly, you don't hear that all that often. I mean, of course, it's been done many a times before, but it's not every day that I seem to come across artists that are doing that a lot. But I think it's a neat thing if you can get it on the right song, and I've seemed to get it to work on that song, doing the a cappella type thing on it. And it certainly leaves a lot of space. But, you know, sometimes that's a neat thing, because you can leave the listener's imagination open.
The silence between the notes, Ryan, can be as effective if you're singing that song. And there's even a bit of a space. It kind of adds to the song as well.
Yeah, that's right. So there's both. I've also on the opposite spectrum. I've played a lot of festivals and larger venue type performances before as well, and I'll be doing some this coming summer as well, where it would just be a little bit too almost naked and not full enough of sound, I think, without
sure.
a full production or band behind it. And I've actually done a lot of touring in the last years as a three-piece trio, where it's bass and drums played on brushes. And then maybe like an upright bass sometimes as well, and then I'm on acoustic guitar, and that's another neat setup for me musically is doing the three-piece thing live. I always have a lot of fun that way, and it leaves me a bit of room to have some fun on the guitar as well. I get to noodle around and take some solos and stuff.
Nice,
which is always a lot of fun live, and it's fun to kind of interact with the crowd that way too.
Definitely. Now, a lot of these songs you've talked about, you have written and had a hand in writing. Do you have people pitched you songs, other songwriters, and are you considering any other songs to record besides
your own? I always am. If I hear a song that just really strikes a chord with me, and I feel like I feel like I could do the song justice, then I'm always open ears to that kind of thing. The majority of the songs that I've done up to this point have been songs that I've written, just because I am a songwriter and I really do enjoy writing the songs, and I've got all these personal life experiences that have happened to me in my life or to my friends and family and things like that, and I draw the inspiration from some of those things. One neat story: I've got a song that's on that exclusive pre-release CD that we'll be giving away a copy of tonight, and it's track number 2 on there, right after I'm Your Man. It's a song called 2 Weeks In, and a friend of mine had been dating a girl for 2 weeks, and they after only being together for 2 weeks and only knowing each other for 2 weeks, they went off and got married. And I thought that was just a little bit crazy, so that
pretty
inspired
cool.
me to write that song called 2 Weeks In. And, you know, it's got a little bit of humor in it. I think the opening part of the song is, the opening lines are, she's got eyes that'll cut like a knife right through the truth, and it changes your life. And the next thing you know, you wake up and you're walking her dog. And it's got some funny lines in it, but it's always I always enjoy playing that one live, and that's just an example of one of the ones that, you know, I got inspired through a friend and his life situation. It wasn't something that happened to me personally, but many of my songs have also been personal experiences too.
Have you had a chance yet to meet any of your musical heroes and talk to them at least?
Yeah, I have gotten to meet, especially a lot of the, you know, the more I've gotten into the music industry, then I get more opportunities to go to certain events and play at music festivals and things like that. And, up until this point in my career, I've sometimes been maybe an earlier or a daytime act at some of the summer music festivals, but they'll have some really big established acts that play on the same bill. And I mean, it's been an honor for me to get to share the stage with some of those acts, and I get to meet them sometimes backstage and hang out for a while, and that's always been a lot of fun. This last summer I did some opening dates for a few different acts, and one of the guys I opened for that wasn't always a major influence of mine or anything, but I really have grown to appreciate him though is Dierks Bentley. And I mean, what a great guy, and he treated us like gold. You don't always see it all the time as the opening act, that the headliners will come and just really hang out with you and actually right. come in and know all your music and your songs and stuff.
Oh, wow.
But he actually knew it and knew my songs and was, you know, wanted to hang out with us after the show, and we all went out for drinks and whatnot and had some fun and kept in touch.
Great.
And stuff. And it's really neat. It's really nice and inspiring to see that kind of thing. And I hope someday if I ever get to the point of, you know, being blessed to be a headline type act, that, you know, that's something that I would always want to remember and do myself too. Because, you know, everybody has to start somewhere, and we all started in the beginning. For us, and
that's right.
And I mentioned George Canyon earlier too, and he's very similar to Dierks. There has been really good to me out on the road, and so it's really nice that I you know to see guys like that have had a lot of success and are still very down to earth that way.
Definitely. Now another fellow you'll be opening up with in Ontario, I think around April, opening up dates for him. Of course, country superstar Alan Jackson. How does that feel knowing that's coming up?
Yeah, well, it's an amazing feeling. When I first heard that I was going to be doing that, you know, I was asked to open up for Alan's tour through Ontario. I was just floored. I couldn't believe it. But talk about a living legend in country
yeah.
music. And I never would have thought probably last year at this time that I'd be sitting here, you know, getting ready to open up for Alan Jackson. But I'm certainly blessed to have that opportunity, and I'm going to try and make the most of it, and I'm really looking forward to it. And now George Canyon, I was telling you about the prank that I did to him
right.
the other night, where I rode out on a horse on during his show and put a Buzz Lightyear sticker on him essentially, and I played the role of Woody from the Toy Story
yeah.
movie. But so George, after I went riding off stage on the little broom horse, he you know kind of called out to me. I was side stage at that point, but he said you know he was trying to make me a bet that he'd pay me $500 if I would do that to Alan Jackson when I open up for him. But I don't know if I'll have the guts to do that to a living legend like Alan. But
exactly.
But you know, one thing with George being out on the road with him is there is a lot of pranks going on, and it's supposed to be about having a good time, I think, when you're out on the road, and the crowd's, you know, paying their hard-earned dollars to come out and see it, and it's one thing just to play your songs and perform the music and whatnot, but I know at least when I'm touring with George, we always try to have a lot of fun with the crowd and pull some pranks on each other and tell some jokes and, you know, make it a full entertainment kind of show. And
yeah.
you know, so I'm always mixing it up, but you know, I'm still contemplating whether or not to take George up on his offer with the Alan Jackson thing, but we'll see.
Hey, $500, eh? That's maybe you can get a new guitar or something.
There you go. Yeah,
good money. Yeah. That's too funny. And our listeners can punch into YouTube, Ryan Lair, George Canyon, and they can see the prank. And, of course, they'll see some of those other great highlights I mentioned earlier, doing those classic country songs. Did you ever have a second career? I mean, you did head, obviously, at 18 to Nashville, and this is what you always wanted to do. Anything in the back of your mind that you thought might be an interesting career, aside from the great one you're having?
Yeah, early in my teens, I was always really interested in computers, so I actually worked at a local computer store. I think I was in ninth grade in high school, and I worked there for a year, you know, after school each day. I'd go down and work on computers, and I guess I was a bit of a computer geek that way. But shortly after that, though, I ended up building up quite the list of guitar students, and I had about 30 students all through through high school, and I'd go down after school each day and teach them, you know, give them guitar lessons, because, you know, I'd been playing guitar for many years at that point, and So and that was a great little kind of side job for me to have while I was going through high school. And so it's always been kind of music related with me. But the thing was that I guess I said, you know, I'd call it a blessing or a curse. I don't know which, but I always knew what I wanted to do from a very young age. I didn't really have aspirations to do anything else but be in the music business and be a singer and a performer and a songwriter. And you know, it's still to this day what I want to be doing with my life and what I am doing. And it's always you know, there's times that it's a struggle and times that that you get great successes out of it. And I think it all balances out in the end. But I think what's important is you find something that you love to do, and then you do it. And and that's what I've tried to do.
I'm speaking with Ryan Laird, Ontario country artist. We're wrapping up in just a moment. You can head to his website, ryanlaird.com, to check out more about him. We're giving away an autographed CD of his pre-release CD with 13 songs on it. Just send any song title you heard during this interview to inthecountry@mail.com. Put that in the email, and we'll do the draw tomorrow, and an autographed CD will be sent out to one lucky listener. As we get set to wrap up here, Ryan, when is the full-length CD going to be released down the road?
Hoping to have it out by the summer. We don't have an exact date set yet, so in the meantime, you know, I've got this exclusive pre-release CD that folks can get at the shows. I'll have them with me at the all the Alan Jackson dates in Ontario in April, and I'm going to be doing a couple dates out in Alberta with Emerson Drive that we just found out about in May, so I'll be announcing those soon on ryanlaird.com, and I'll be going out doing some summer music festivals this summer. One that we've got confirmed just recently is the Calgary Stampede in July. Which I'm really looking forward to. That'll be my first time playing there. And the summer is, you know, always a busy time, especially in Canada with our cold Canadian winters. it's always a busy time for us musicians to be touring and whatnot in the summer. So I'm looking forward to doing a lot of touring this summer and getting out on the road and sharing some of these new songs with all the listeners out there.
Well, thanks so much, Ryan, for spending this time. I'll just send a big thank you out as well to Linda Ewing for setting things up. Been great to chat with you and get to know more about your music career and, of course, play these songs, and really enjoyed it.
Yeah, thanks for having me on the show.
Been my pleasure. My guest today, once again, Ontario country artist Ryan Laird. His current country single, She Was the One, which we shared on the show. Be sure to contact your local country station and make a request for it. I'm Dave Woods, and that'll wrap up this edition of In the Country. Thank you.